Welcome to Park Street. We're grateful that you're here. My name is Nate Bebout. I'm the senior pastor here. And I'm so excited to introduce my dear friend Genevieve Schultz, who's going to be bringing the message this morning. Leah and I have recently said that with all of the small kids around Park Street, we have to be very intentional to be nice to all of these children. It's not the case that I'm typically walking down the hallways and kicking kids for fun. But to say, we need to be nice to these children. And one of the reasons why is that sometimes kids that you know when you're an adult grow up and they turn into your real life friends. And so I remember giving Genevieve's husband, Jack, guitar lessons when he was like 8 years old. So that makes me a certain age, apparently. I've seen Genevieve present a couple different times in a couple of different places. And I just felt a stirring in my spirit to say, would you ever be interested in preaching at Park Street? And she said, what? And I said, I think it could be a thing that the Lord might be inviting us into. So welcome to our grand experiment of bar the exits now. I'm so excited for you to hear her heart. This is a woman of God that I respect, and I'm learning from a lot. I'm going to pray for her, and then she's going to share whatever the Lord has put on her heart. Mm-hmm. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for Genevieve. Thank you for the way that you have prepared her for this moment. And thank you for our congregation that is constantly seeking to identify gifts in others and empower them to become obedient and authentic in their service to you. We pray that we would have open hearts, open ears, and open desire for you to move in this place this morning. Bless this time together, we pray in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen. Make Genevieve amen. Feel welcome this morning, everybody.
Thank you. Good morning. Like Nate said, I'm Genevieve Schultz. I've been in Ashland almost my entire life, grown up here, graduated from good old Ashland High School. go Arrows. My husband, Jack, also grew up here. He just recently graduated from AU. Go Eagles. We've been married for almost 4 years. We have two kids, Kit, who is 3, and my precious Miss Marlo Jean, who is almost 7 months now. Jack works in town at Campbell's. That was the old Archway. And if you ask Kit what he does, he'll just say, Daddy make cookies. So for the sake of this morning, that is what he does. That's all he does. And I work a couple days a week at the one and only Goldberry Roasting Company. Go coffee, yeah. Other than that, I just stay home with my kids and love them and help them grow. I've never done anything like this before, so I am very honored and humbled and blessed to be here, and I thank you for just working with me through this. I'm going to do a quick recap. We've been going through Proverbs. It's been awesome, gleaning all the wisdom that we can from this wonderful scripture. The first week we talked about wisdom and fear of the Lord, then we dove into health, went to integrity, diligence, justice. Today we will be discussing hospitality. Next week, we will be discussing fidelity. Want to make a disclaimer, that is going to be more of a PG-13 sermon. Don't really know what that means, but we will be diving into sexuality, how that works in the lens through Proverbs, through Scripture, with the Lord. Children are more than welcome to attend, but we just wanted to give that little heads up. So, today, hospitality. We will be discussing it and why we believe Jesus wants this to be a normal practice in our lives. I will say that Nate has mentioned in the previous sermons that Proverbs is not a list of if you do this, then this will happen. But for example, if you practice hospitality regularly in your life, you will not only create a safe place for others to share their lives with you, but also deepen your community for when your heart and soul too need a safe place to be vulnerable. I'd like to just jump right into some verses in Proverbs that I think highlight what our heart posture should look like when we are creating a safe place to host others. Proverbs 11, 24 through 25, one who gives freely yet grows all the richer, Another withholds what he should give and only suffers wanting more. Whoever brings blessings will be enriched. Proverbs 14:21, whoever despises his neighbor is a sinner, but blessed is he who is generous to the poor. And Proverbs 14:30, a tranquil heart gives life to the flesh, but envy makes the bones rot. And my personal favorite, Proverbs 15:17, better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a fattened ox where hatred is. I'm going to pray over these scriptures in this time. Jesus, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your truths in scripture. Jesus, I just invite your presence in this place, Holy Spirit. You are here. We see you, we hear you, we feel you. And we thank you for your goodness and your joy and your mercy for this family, for this community. We lift up this time to you and we seal it in your precious holy name. Amen. So when I was reading and praying over these scriptures, the Lord brought to my mind a couple of questions. What does it look like to give freely? Who do I think less of? And who am I comparing myself to? Am I actively in the process of healing my heart? And what lies am I holding on to? And it doesn't matter if you can cook, people want a safe place to be loved. That's not a question, that's a statement. Really for me, because I hate cooking. The first question tied into the first verse, what does it look like to give freely? Because we live in a society where nothing is free. You want more money, you have to work harder, you want more time. Well, you better go back to making more money because time equals money. We live in a place that completely goes against the grain with this mentality. The world tells us that you need more, that you can only be happy if you have more. And it is no question why the idea of following Jesus is so scary to people. We are constantly being told you don't have enough, that you aren't enough. And then this guy shows up, aka Jesus, and says, put that down. Let me love you for who you are. And we're like, what? No question why we run away and say, not yet, Jesus, I'm not ready. Can you come back later when my kids are asleep and my house is clean? And then we wonder why there's also this uncomfortableness. Maybe it's just me, but when we are invited into someone's home and vice versa, when we invite people into our home. On one end, this is our space, this is our time. We can be protective of who we invite into our house. And please hear me when I say that boundaries are a good thing. My aunt and uncle live in Florida. Some of the best people I know, they have 6 kids. So they're like a little crazy. And their youngest is 15. And it's just like an open door policy in their home. Like kids coming in and out at all hours of the day, of the night. You're like, who even lives here? I don't even know. It's like organized chaos. And this isn't a diss on them because I only have 2 kids. And half the time, I don't know where my son is. So... that's fine. Anyway, you get the picture. It's okay not to have an open door policy and create a secure environment for you and your family. I pray that the Lord brings peace and discernment when you open up your home. And then we have the other side, being welcomed into someone's house. Immediately, you know, if you have kids, they will be on their worst behavior. There's this awkward vibe to me. It's like, can I really make myself comfortable? Can I open up? Am I safe? Can I sit here? Will I be judged? All of these questions, when in reality, I think the person that invited you over is thinking, would you just relax? I wouldn't have invited you over here if I didn't want you here. Jesus says that to me a lot personally. Would you just relax? I have given you everything you need. Just sit with me and let me love you. Let me help you become like me, spending time in my presence, not by being more, just by being you. Becoming closer to Jesus helps you become what he created you to be, and in return, helps you let go of the things that aren't from him. If you know my son, You know, he doesn't really understand the concept of stranger danger yet. If he is at someone's home, he will make himself comfortable and never want to leave. He will give you all he has and show you all of his ugly sides because he doesn't know any better. He thrives on newness and wonder and friendship. To be 3 years old. We were just recently in Florida. We got back on Tuesday, and my son, my cousin was getting married, and we had this like big get together of family. It was like the collisions, the worlds were colliding. And there was this group of men outside, like smoking cigars, like bachelor party style. And my son wants to get in the pool, and I'm like getting him undressed and putting on his swimmy diaper. But of course, before I get the swimmy diaper on him, he runs out the door, beelines it for this group of men, walks over and just goes, penis out, and runs back. I love children, and most of the time, I want us to become more like children. Having no fear of giving freely and in return becoming more free. And also, thank you, Lord, for the discretion that usually comes with maturity. The second question, tied into the first, into the second verse we read, who do I think less of and who am I comparing myself to? And not just in the sense of someone who has maybe financially less than you, because if I'm honest with you all this morning, I sometimes have an easier time inviting those who have less than me because I don't have this fear that they may be judging what I have. It might be just me, but also interesting that in this verse it talks about despising your neighbor. And to me, in this scripture, a neighbor is who you might see in your everyday life, a person, a part of your community, one who you may find it easier to be generous to. Yet blessed is he who is generous to the poor. Poor as in those who might not be in your inner circle, who might not be in your day-to-day life. Those who you think less of, blessed is he who is generous to them. In my high school days, which in reality were not that long ago. Anyway, I have this friend who I constantly compared myself to. Everything she had in my eyes was better than mine, her looks, her outfits, her friends. I didn't like her, but I also wanted to be her. It's like every high school drama movie ever. It got to the point where I wanted to like copy and mimic her outfit. It was embarrassing. Thank goodness, becoming a whopping 4 years older has taken away the comparison game, and I never have to envy anyone else ever. To this day, the Lord will bring her name to my heart and ask me to pray for her. I think that there's something important about praying for those who you don't like. I just think it's in the Bible somewhere. Usually I just get annoyed and I tell God, this is stupid. I don't think about her anymore. But the more I sit with Jesus, the more he'll gently nudge my heart towards praying for those who I don't see eye to eye with. The third question this morning, am I actively in the process of healing my heart? And what lie am I holding on to? In Proverbs 14:30, it says a tranquil heart, which can also be translated to a healing heart. And I think that that is a beautiful picture. Having a healing heart, what does that mean? Are we spending time examining our hearts with Jesus and letting him so kindly point us to the places in our lives that are broken and need healing? Because I will be very honest with you this morning, it is hard to love my husband and my kids when I have this junk in my heart that I slap a cheap Band-Aid over, let alone a stranger or even a friend who I'm called to love and be generous to. And are we letting go of the lie that I don't have enough? I don't have the right living room set up. I don't have the big enough space. Well, we can't invite them over. They don't have kids. They're not gonna understand. Well, I don't wanna invite them over. They have kids. That one I do understand. Once I have this basement done, we can finally start having people over for dinner. I want to be very honest. The people who God places on your heart to have fellowship with don't care about how many bathrooms you have or how pretty your charcuterie board may be. They just want to be loved in a safe place, and I know for me, I can provide those things if I would just let go of the shame. You are enough because Christ says you are enough. Now, I'm not saying you can't pick up before your guests come over. That would just be stupid. But don't let that dirty sink stop you from utilizing the gifts that the Lord has given you. The fourth and final point this morning, it doesn't matter if you can cook. People just want a safe place to be loved. This is the Genevieve translation of Proverbs 15:7. Better is a meal of lettuce because I can make a really good salad. If love is there, then a ribeye steak if there's loathe in your heart. All jokes aside, when I started my first and only semester of college, I was an undecided major. My home life was a mess. I didn't really feel like I belonged anywhere. All of my friends could at least pretend they knew what they were doing, because they're like, I'm an accounting major. I'm going to do accounting things. And I'm like, I'm undecided. I don't know what I'm doing with my life, ever. My boyfriend, which is now my husband at the time, we were walking to class, and we get to the class doors, and I lose it. I have a breakdown. I beeline it for the exit. I run away, like sobbing. Jack's like, come back. Like, no. And I get in my car, and I just sit there, and I'm like, I don't know where to go. What do I do? Again, I didn't want to go home because that was yikes. Anywhere I called a safe place, that was a safe place for me. I didn't want to go there because I had a lot of shame of not knowing what I was doing. For some reason, though, I had this calling to go to the Schultz residence. It was the middle of the day. I didn't know if anyone was going to be home. I just had this feeling, so I went with it. I was so terrified. I'd only been dating this guy for a few months, and he wasn't going to be there, and it seemed like a really big step to show up at his house with him not there with me. But Jen was there. My tender-hearted, selfless, kind to the core mother-in-law who passed away 2 years ago. I walked into her home looking like an absolute psychopath. And this woman who hardly knew me let me spill my guts to her. She just listened. I don't know what she was thinking. I don't know if I want to know. But she made me tea. She told me it was going to be okay, and she let me rest in her home. She created a secure place for my heart, and all that she gave me was her time, some tea, and a place to sleep. That's all I needed. Folks, this morning, the moral of the story is if we're not willing to be vulnerable, we're not going to reap the benefits of being hospitable. Hospitality, in its true, fun, deep, sometimes not so pretty core, is too important to ignore and wait around for the right time. I'm going to close with this verse from 1 Peter. I know it's not from Proverbs, so I'm sorry. But it was too good not to share with you this morning. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind, so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gifts you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. That verse says it all. I didn't even really have to preach. That's it right there. So God, I thank you. I thank you that we are able to love each other deeply because that love covers a multitude of sins. Jesus, thank you for hospitality, the gift that it is, that it can be fun, that it can open us up in ways that show you, that point our hearts towards you. I thank you for the gifts that you have given each and every one of us in here. That each of us bring a piece of your kingdom into this place. I thank you for your love and kindness, that you so kindly point our hearts to where they should be going when we're not going the right way. Thank you. Just thank you, Lord. We are nothing without you and everything because of you. And I pray all of these things in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Let's sing the doxology together this morning. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Receive this benediction this morning. We pray as you continue to heed Jesus' invitation to come further in and deeper still, that He would continue to heal your heart, that you would have such confidence in who He says you are, that you would be willing to be vulnerable and open up your lives and your home to others in Jesus' name. We bless you to be agents of His grace and being hospitable to those you encounter this week. We pray all of this in Jesus' name, and God's people said, amen and amen. Go in peace, church. We love you.